This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on Finance Minister's Reply to Budget Discussion in Parliament. The participants are Santosh Tiwari, Economic Analyst, and Gaura Dhawan Lal, Anchor.
Hello and welcome to our program. Topic for today is a discussion on the Finance Minister's Reply to the Budget, and we are delighted to have with us in the studio today as an expert, Mr. Santosh Tiwari, who's an Economic Analyst. Santosh, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So Mr. Tiwari, in fact, a lot has been spoken about the budget. And I think when the finance minister, she gave a reply to the budget, she was very categoric and very clear that she has struck a fine balance between different priorities, growth, employment, welfare, capital investment, financial consolidation. It's been a pragmatic budget, not a populist one. And I think globally, somewhere, it has been received well to say that the government is being consistent with its policy. There's no visceral reaction to certain demands, but a steady path of growth. What are your views on that?
No, absolutely. And Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman made it very clear, you know, balance between growth and fiscal prudence was quite critical. Those who are comparing, seeing how other countries in the world are moving, especially in the post-COVID world, they know that if India is looking at, and the finance minister clearly said that India is now looking at a fiscal deficit of 4.5%, around 4.5% next year. And this year, from interim budget itself, the fiscal deficit has been brought down to 4.9%.
Right.
And last year it was more than 5%. So the trajectory, which could be called a classical trajectory post-COVID world, that India has attained. And this is despite the fact that the investments which are required from government in the last 3 years to revive the economy, to take it to a growth path of 7% or more, all those things are maintained. So what you have done is, like, you have maintained the growth path which was required to come over COVID, bring people outside COVID, take country to the growth path which is required to grow at a 7.5% level. And with that, you keep on investing in those areas which push your growth, support your growth, and help create whatever is required in the economy to keep the growth momentum to this level, you know, where India is now fastest growing country. So this balance and achievement of the growth level which country requires today, it's something which this budget signifies. When you say that this budget is not a populist budget, when you say that, you know, this budget may not be meeting several people's expectations, etc., etc. But if you look at the expectations of the economy, neither it has compromised on investment where it is required. If a capex of 11.11 lakh crore is still continued, and if you are looking at a fiscal deficit of 4.9% and looking at a fiscal deficit of 4.5% next year, then obviously you are creating that delicate balance which in the longer run for the country is creating a roadmap which will take India to the path where everybody would like to.
So the finance minister also mentioned the global hunger index. And I think over there, you know, she's really pointed out to lack of belief or faith, avishwasaniyata is what she called it, in the index by itself, to say that there are certain countries which clearly are very poor but are rated above India. And then wanting to now, you know, juxtaposition this with the fact that we are still giving more than 80 crore Indians free rations. What do you think are certain more measures that would be required that we are out of this state? Because, you know, it was what kept a lot of India going during COVID. It has been one of the best policies actually to keep this country moving and kicking during COVID. But what more do you think is required in terms of whether it is the food distribution, the diversification of crops, agricultural incomes? What do you think?
If you look at the needs and the requirements of the COVID world, and if you look at the needs of the India, which is quite different today than what it was 10, 15 years back, then, as you said, you have to look at it in a very different way in terms of supporting people. And India is still very diverse country in terms of the strata of people, you know, people living in different income levels.
Right.
Yeah. So if you are looking at people who still need support in the post-COVID world to live life well, then obviously you have to continue some of the measures, some of the schemes, and some of the support modules which you created during COVID, if you want to support that strata. But just because in last 3 years we have grown well and economy not only appears to be back on track, but it is back on track, you know. It's just that a push in terms of private sector investment, foreign investment that is required to go into the next level. But it is back, and it is back on the support of government expenditure. Now, with that support, the next strata of people who are looking for jobs, who are looking for upliftment by getting into an employment model or employment scenario. Now, you have to create opportunities for them at two levels. If it is agriculture, then obviously, as you said, there is a lot of scope and requirement also for diversification of crops so that, you know, more and more people are interested in doing agriculture, getting into agriculture. Right now, predominantly still your economy is wheat and rice. Now, the more you come out of, and today's economy needs that, the more you come out of this wheat rice trap and start getting into diversified mode of agriculture, the more and more private sector investment comes into agriculture, where it brings with itself, you know, research and development, which is required to push agriculture. A lot of employment and a lot of interest in agriculture would be generated. That's agriculture. In manufacturing and services, the job scenario has completely changed. Today, those, most of the young people who are graduating or who are coming out of colleges, etc., they have a different scenario, different outlook for jobs. Now they are looking at jobs which are more related to digital economy, which are more related to areas like artificial intelligence, scientific development, business and e-commerce. Those are a different kind of a job requirement altogether. There still our universities, our education system is not capable of creating that kind of a skill in a workforce. Then how do you do that? Then you bring in schemes. Some of the schemes are there in the budget also. You create an ecosystem where private sector and other companies, they create that kind of ecosystem where intake from these colleges are having a module where they are skilling them also to take them to the next level.
Employability becomes
employability
better.
And it cannot be done only by government. It has to be a public-private partnership along with educational institutions partnership model. This model is emerging in India. You would see that the university curriculum, they are getting changed. They are not changing at the pace at which it is required. Here the catalyst part has to be played by private sector or the companies to get into tie-ups with colleges, universities and just tell them that, look, your curriculum, number of colleges and number of universities, especially private universities, they are doing that.
Right.
They are developing their curriculum in association with private sector or other companies. So that's second strata. And third strata is where your industries would grow. Startups, MSMEs, those who want to become self-employed. MSMEs, startups, small industries which want to become big. So there you have to come out with that kind of support model where, like Mudra scheme has been revived. The level has been lifted from 10 lakh to 20 lakh.
That's right.
These are small, small measures. They can help several people, you know, who are into this strata, who want to start something of their own. So that ecosystem again will be job creators. So how you do you support them? That support model also has to come. Up till now, what is predominantly happening in India is that the growth is coming basically on what public investment does, you know. In terms of jobs, employment, taking India's growth into the next level, all these technological developments in agriculture, as far as second strata is concerned, where skill development, ecosystem creation, the third strata where you need support, policy, regulation, investment or loan support, etc., etc., there government can create it. But unless until you join hands and start working with government, states, these things are happening, but it has to be taken to the next level. Budgets just do one thing. They just try to incrementally, you know, support all these areas. And that is what this budget.
And I think what has always motivated the private sector, of course, is social interest, but that's very, very minuscule, its profits. And if you see an attrition, you know, getting the right people for the right job is so, so critical because it costs them money. So where they see a profit motive linked and where it's beneficial to them, they would love to integrate this ecosystem. And that's a point very well made over here. The other thing is about the more they're upscaling, they're coming from the unorganized sector to the organized sector, which again is a huge requirement, you know, and you did touch upon that.
Yeah.
Wanting now to draw your attention, distinct from manufacturing, is businesses. So the business category, the business class of people have, you know, formed a very strong middle rung businesses. We are entrepreneurial by nature, small businesses, local businesses, even larger corporates and organizations. GST rationalization has taken place. Changes and tweaks are being given. And I think more and more they're trying to get a more less complicated structure in place and more compliance. Mr. Nitin Gadkari also, you know, raised the requirement for a few changes that he wanted, a drop in GST. So how long do you think we'll actually take to reach a level where GST is totally sync and is addressing all parts of the puzzle?
GST, you have to understand it from the perspective of that at one point of time, everybody had lost hope that GST can be brought in this country. So from that point, if GST has come in this country, and now how this beautiful tax reform has come about, I'll tell you something about that. In this country, GST has come about and has been implemented because every single party came together. And that's why you have GST. Now the second part. If GST rates are the way they are, it's a GST council. And decisions are taken unanimously there. Everybody's interests are taken care of. It is not centers imposed tax rates, etc. These rates get discussed in GST council, where you have finance ministers from every state representing in that council. Then you have finance minister of India representing there. So every single rate which is there, it has been discussed, and we are lucky that we have a council where decisions are taken unanimously. Now coming to your particular question, GST is a rate, or GST for different segments, each a rate which whatever information is available with the council and whatever situation has been explained to the council, based on council's wisdom, a rate or a decision is taken. The good part is that it is taken unanimously. So these kind of demands will keep coming till the time GST. And that's also is a problem, you know. It is not going to stabilize forever. It's a dynamic. But GST is not that dynamic a tax, you know, which needs to be changed every year, every 2 years or every 3 years. Because you know, for a period of maybe 5-10 years, this sector needs help. Or this consumption is something, you know, which is absolutely essential for the country or the people, you know. So if the tax rate is X, which looks like a luxury, then you have to bring it down. Again, GST is one thing which is very well handled by GST Council. Individual demands will keep coming, but the way GST Council has functioned, one is reasonably sure that whatever decision will be taken at the national level, and those decisions will be in the right direction.
One of the requirements also was, and I think has been addressed in some ways, but then it's a toss-up between, do you want people, encourage people to put savings in banks or enter the equity market, which is also buoyant, which is giving results, and which the world has also expressed confidence in. So the shift of the saving pattern, the shift of the investment pattern, do you think this budget addresses that?
See, it's a question which a mature economy, or an economy which for a large segment, you know, can be considered mature. In India, in last 4-5 years, we have heard that the penetration in equity market is so less, there is no retail investor participation. Today, it's opposite. People have started talking, SEBI report says that participation of retail investors has reached to a level where we need to do something.
Yes, bring in checks and balances.
Yes. So it's a plus or a minus? It will be a plus. It will be a plus if you bring in a lot of safety measures in the way equity markets are functioning in India. And you will be surprised the way equity market functioning, they have been improved. Right now, it's very, very difficult to do things which earlier used to happen in equity market. The technological operations of stock markets, they have become very robust.
True.
But having said that, see the risks in stock market or equity investment, you cannot just obviate that or take away that risk part, no, at one go. It depends on the appetite of the person, whether it is retail investor or whether it is a large investor, appetite of the person and the risk taking capability, whether they want to go in equity market or not. Now, if you are going into equity market and if you are expecting that if you make some investment in a certain instrument or if you get some income, then you pay X amount of tax on that. And if equity market is robust and if you expect that you should pay less tax on that, then maybe in terms of prudence or income tax prudence, etc., it may not fit into that definition. You are getting income from some place. I don't need to give a particular boost to that place, but you want to pay a lower tax on that. Somehow in income tax parlance, this doesn't make 2+2=4. And that's what you see in the budget. You know, when you see increase in long-term capital gains to 12.5%, then this is the thing that you don't need a boost or a support to invest in that segment, but you want to pay a lower tax.
Mr. Santosh Tiwari, thank you so much for coming on to our program today.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you.
You were listening to a discussion on Finance Minister's Reply to Budget Discussion in Parliament. The participants were Santosh Tiwari, Economic Analyst, and Gaurav Dhawanlal, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.